Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, brother? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the book of life and pray.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, April 29th, 2019. Are you all stretched out after that marathon this past weekend? You doing better today?
I'm doing a lot better.
It was
a great race.
Under 2 hours, right, Marianne?
She ran not in the marathon, just to be clear.
0.2 miles. I know a lot of our Prime Lifetimes papers, I had some at the ARC, and there was like thousands of people signing up there. We ran out of those, but
really?
Today we have the new delivery coming in,
yeah.
So we'll be delivering our Prime Lifetimes papers throughout the area, 250 to 300 locations, so we'll get those filled up by midweek, and those of you that are subscribers expected in the next few days. But it's Memorization Monday, and it's an exciting time. If you're tuned in Friday, you knew that Pastor Jason Schiffel would be joining us today to share a little about why he loves Joshua 1:8. And so our practice is always to do a little reading from 100 Bible verses everyone should know by heart. And that's by author Robert J. Morgan, who we interviewed many months ago. In fact, this is our 11th verse, our second set of 10 that we'll be working on together. And I hope to have a training or a gathering or a potluck in the days ahead. Maybe the month of May or June for sure we'll have everyone gathering. But today it's Joshua 1:8, which says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful." Joshua 1:8.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't it be fun to have everybody saying those verses in unison at the training?
I'd
love it.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Shall I read?
Sure.
Okay. This is our 11th verse, Joshua 1:8. "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." "I recall and repeat often now the first scripture passage I ever memorized," wrote evangelist Arthur Flake in his book, Life at 80 as I See It. Great title. He was referring to Joshua 1:8. "I memorized this more than 50 years ago. It is still fresh and invigorating, and I love it. I, too, have a clear recollection of memorizing this verse. I was attending a small Navigator discipleship Bible study in my college dormitory. When this verse was assigned for memorizing, I thought it too long and cumbersome. But it finally worked its way into my long-term memory, and it's never left. It contains a threefold command. 1, this book of the law must not depart from your mouth. We must keep speaking it, reading it, repeating it, hearing it. 2, we're to meditate on God's word day and night. The original Hebrew word came from a verb meaning to mutter, as if muttering to yourself. We're to let verses of Scripture roll around in our minds all the time. We meditate on something by memorizing, visualizing, and personalizing it. We mutter it around in our minds day and night and go to sleep, letting his words sink into our subconscious. Having read and meditated on God's word, we put it into practice and obey it. Joshua 1:8 ends with a twofold promise. 1, if we read, meditate, and obey God's law, we will prosper. And 2, we will succeed in whatever we do. As we meditate on God's word, our minds are improved. They are God-conditioned. We begin thinking more as he thinks, looking at life from his point of view. As we're transformed by the renewing of our thoughts, we become successful in those things God appoints for us to do. Take time to read Psalm 1 in light of Joshua 1:8. Perhaps you'll agree with me that King David took Joshua 1:8 and did what it said, meditating on it, visualizing it, personalizing it, using the image of trees planted by rivers of water. From that meditation, he wrote Psalm 1. In other words, David showed us how to do it. Psalm 1 is his meditation about meditating on Joshua 1:8. And here's a quote from a Navigator booklet. Meditation is the skeleton key that unlocks the greatest storeroom in the house of God's provision for the Christian. It is holding the Word of God in your heart until it has affected every phase of your life. Beware of getting alone with your own thoughts.
Wait, read that again. I think that gets all of our attention.
Beware of getting alone with your own thoughts. Get alone with God's thoughts. There's danger in rummaging through waste and barren desert thoughts that can be labeled daydreaming or worse. Don't meditate upon yourself, but dwell upon God. Make this a built-in habit of daily living.
You know, it's funny, Jason, on our Friday's program, we were talking about selfies. Marianne, I don't know if you heard Friday's program, but it seems like this generation and the time of Solomon and throughout history, you know, we become consumed with ourself and selfies and so forth. And when we read this, beware of getting alone with yourself. When we take our focus off of God and God's word, we're led astray, certainly, and we don't want to go down that path. But yeah, Joshua 1:8, a great verse. In fact, Jason, I know some weeks back, maybe a few months back, I was saying, I'd love to have you a part of Memorization Monday, and I would have thought you would have chosen something out of Romans, and then, you know, we've said this over the air, usually whatever verse you're working on becomes a favorite verse or a verse that God uses in your own life, but you said Joshua 1:8, this was some months back. Why this verse? Why did this resonate so much with you?
Well, there's a couple of reasons, but one of the primary reasons is because it's so often misinterpreted. This verse is absolutely misinterpreted and applied exactly the way it's not supposed to be applied. How many times have we read this verse, we've used this verse, we've taught this verse, we've shared this verse, and we've said, Marianne, you just need to be strong and courageous like Joshua.
Do we all say Marianne?
Yeah. Well, I'm saying it because you're sitting next to me. Or I would say Mark, but I picked on him on Friday.
You're right, though. That is how I've heard it said.
Right. And so that's how we say it. And we say it as though that strength and that courage can come from us. You just need to be strong and courageous. And the problem is that Joshua is given the command to be strong and courageous because he is exactly not going to be there. He's going to struggle with that. When God commands us to do something, it's generally because we're either not doing it or we need to know that we can do it. We need to be given the sometimes given that permission to say, you can be bold in this moment. Oh, my gosh, I can. Yes, you can. Oh, my gosh, then I will. And so oftentimes when I feel like God is commanding us to do something, it's either because we're doing the opposite or we're not believing that we can do what God is calling us and asking us to do. And so I've heard this verse used a lot in the verses of Joshua chapter 1 used for the prosperity gospel, because they'll say every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you just as I promised to Moses. That's verse 3 of Joshua chapter 1. Well, the only reason that every place where the sole of your feet touch you'll be given is because when you are so in tune with what God is doing and who God is, the only desire you have is to put your feet where God would desire you to put your feet. You begin to have God-centered thoughts where you go, Lord, what would you do? Popularized nowadays with the movement of what would Jesus do? I struggle with that one a little bit because he was sinless. So I struggle to understand exactly what would Jesus do. But it is a great question to ask. And here, God is saying to Joshua, I want to give you every place that you put your foot. But in order for you to do that, you're going to have to be strong and courageous. And right away, that becomes a loaded statement, because when I say strong and courageous to anybody, my first thought, their first thought, our first thought is, okay, I just need to be strong and courageous.
Right.
And the point is that to truly be strong and courageous is to admit that we are weak and ineffective most of the time. That the strength and courage that we exude is false. It's a facade. You know, we're not truly strong until God puts his spirit inside of us when we believe upon Jesus Christ. And so isn't it funny that when he first says this, by the way, the strong and courageous is a perfect command because it appears here in Joshua 1 three times. And so he says, be strong and courageous in verse 6, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. When he says that, he's saying, listen, be strong and courageous that you're a part of a plan that's bigger than you and you could never have done on your own. It's only something that I swore to your fathers. It's a promise that I'm inviting you to be a part of. So right away, Joshua's strength and courage relies upon the fact that he's a part of God's perfect plan, not his own plan. The second thing is he says, only be strong and courageous, being careful to do all that the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. So he says, listen, only be strong and courageous. as you carefully consider the words that I have given you to consider.
God's setting up like the boundaries.
He is. He's setting up the boundaries. He's telling them what courage is going to be. Courage is living inside of God's promises and His perfect plan, which means having to offload my plan and what I think is perfect. Courage is being careful to only do what the Word says, because so often we want to do what everything but what the Word says, and we see that constantly today, don't we? We're like, well, you know, but I want to do this, but I want to do that. Well, what does the Bible say to do? And listen, anytime we step outside of the Bible, we step outside of what Christ came to do for us. I mean, I think about the song my kids sing, right? Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. The Bible, in all of its pages, is a written revelation of the magnitude of God's love, culminating in the coming of Christ and then His glorious return. His love letter, the Bible, I've heard said many times, is love letter to us. Mm-hmm. And so when we offload any of the Bible, we're offloading the deep and rich relationship that God desires to have for us. Some people want to view the Bible as a book of rules that need to be obeyed. You obey this and obey that. There's a difference between obeying because we're fearful of what might happen if we don't, and obeying because we deeply love.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so you can begrudgingly submit yourself to the biblical text, but that is in no way, shape, or form what God desired. God desired that you would be strong and courageous, laying aside who you think you ought to be, what you think you ought to do, and all of that, because you know that a loving God has come to offer you and invite you into something that you could never have dreamed of. The promises that He promised His forefathers. And He says, just be careful to do what My Word says, because My Word is so important. By the way, isn't it fascinating when they come to Jesus and say, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Mm. And then He ends that phrase by saying something powerful. All the law and the prophets hang on this.
Wow.
From a very Judaic standpoint, they would say, well, who hung it? God. Because God's the one who gave us this picture in the Scripture of what it means to be loved by Him, to know His love, to be affected by His love. He's the one who authored the law. He's the one who sent the prophets. Praise He's God. The one who hung this for all to see. Isn't it fascinating that the Bible is the best-selling book of all time, hung for all to see, for all to be affected by? And He tells Joshua to be careful to make sure you do all this. Now we get into nearer to verse 8. And He says, then do not turn from it to the right hand or the left hand. Now listen, why does He say the right hand or the left hand? Well, because those are the hands that we tend to use to do our own things. And so we tend to go, well, I do this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how many times do we say, I got a handle on this? No, you don't. You don't. Only He has the whole world in His hands, that you may have good success wherever you go. So right away, the good success that God frames can only come from living inside of His perfect plan and promises, following all that He says, being careful to follow His word, and not turning to the right, not turning to the left, not putting too much faith in your right hand or your left hand, but instead, good success comes from being in that sweet spot with God.
Yeah.
And then it says, as you read, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, means that it's on your lips, and that you'll meditate on it day and night, so that you may be... Look, if you don't meditate on it day and night, you're not being careful to do what's written in it.
Amen.
The only way that's going to come is when you apply. The only things I'm careful about are the things that I'm also intentional about.
Yeah.
And so according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The prosperity and the good success that comes is not that your life becomes magically better. It's not that suddenly you get a windfall financially. The prosperity comes because suddenly you're standing closer to your inheritance than farther. Mm-hmm. And your inheritance is neither financial, economical, or material. Your inheritance is spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will have good success.
Yeah.
Because the greatest success you'll ever have, friends, is on that day when He says, oh, good and faithful servant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good and faith. That's where good inheritance is. And then it goes on to say...
Yeah, and that success is in God's economy. You know,
that's right.
Sometimes we can't necessarily measure it, or the results aren't instant. It might be, you know, learning to be patient, or godly success could be character development or something else. It's not always a financial gain or a profit that is so tangible for right now.
Right. And listen, we have to measure that up against what God says in his word, against what we say. Because I guarantee you, if the three of us go around and we define what we believe success is, even subtly, it'll probably look different than what the Bible says success is.
Yeah. You know, I have a short story about that. I went to college with a couple. They got married shortly after college, and they felt very led by God to go to a country in Europe that's very kind of against Christianity at this time. And so they went, and they went to a little village that they really felt God had led them to. And years went on and on and on, and nothing much happened. They had a very small group, a little house church. People stopped supporting them because they said, you know, I don't think God's blessing this. I mean, they aren't having any success. They're, you know, and they were committed. They knew God had said to go there. And now, because right where they were, one of the biggest churches in that country resides. It just took off like wildfire. Took years. Were they successful? Yes, in what God had asked them to do. But no, for years, not in the way the world would look at it.
Right, exactly. And I think we have to be careful how we measure that. And verse 9 goes on to say, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. This is God now asking a question. This is the third and perfect. This is the statement, the strong and courageous statement that makes this the third three, the trifecta, the perfection of God calling this out. And he says to him, have I not commanded you?
Yeah.
I think he's saying step outside of your comfort zone. Be strong and courageous by being weak and admitting that you are desperately in need of me. Do not be frightened. Why? Because when we put ourselves in that position of weakness, we immediately become frightened. Most of the times, I think, where we are not humble and weak, it's because we are fearful that we might be found out. We're fearful that we might somehow be trampled upon. Ultimately, it comes down that we're fearful of the world. And isn't it so funny that we would fear man more than God? And he says, and do not be dismayed. Why? Because for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I wonder what Christianity and Christians would look like if we truly believe that for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That in places where we feel fearful, the unknown, places where we're not sure how it's going to work out, that we would walk with a kind of confidence into a place and say, I don't know how this is going to go, but I know who's with me. I know the power that I have been given to walk in through God's Holy Spirit and his presence with me and his promise. And Jesus Christ, by the way, will lift this up even higher when he says in Matthew 28 and verse 20, lo, I'll be with you until the end of the age.
Yeah.
He says, I'm going to be with you always and until I return, and then I will be with you gloriously and continually. And so we never have an interrupted moment where we do not have God's presence and his power working in us and through us and with us. And so these words, I'll be with you wherever you go, wherever it is that you're feeling fearful, wherever it is where you're feeling it's uncertain, wherever you're wondering how it's going to work out, wherever you're unsure, God is with you, which means that you can turn back to him. See, it's not enough just to read God's word. He tells Joshua that you need to meditate upon it, to chew on it.
Yeah.
You need to let it churn inside of you, let it bubble up. You need to bring it to a boil. You need to have God's word going on continually.
You know, I've never connected what you've connected a lot of things, actually, and what the be strong and be courageous means. But I never corrected that be strong and have courage to do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Yeah. They go together.
They totally go together. Because, listen, wherever I try and be strong, I'm going to depart from it because I'm going to do it my way. You know,
or under the illusion, under my strength.
That's right.
Right. Yeah, well I'll do it my way. I'll do it my way. And listen,
I'll figure it out.
If we're honest, our way is not always sacrificial. Our way is not always loving. Our way is not always patient. Our way is not go down the list.
Yeah.
Our way is not generally that way. And Jesus came and he said, wait, there's another way. But you're going to have to walk a few extra miles, and it's going to be a little more difficult. In fact, people might actually revile you and make fun of you as you walk this way, but it is the way that I walked. It is the way that God walks before you, and God doesn't lead you anywhere that he isn't willing to provide for you in it. I love how he says to Moses, lo, I'm sending an angel ahead to light the way, and he will bring you to the place which I have prepared for you. Why did he say that? Because Moses was scared. He was uncertain. He didn't understand how it was going to work out, and God says, listen, I'm going to send an angel, and he's going to light the way. And Joshua here is being commanded to keep God's word, which the Psalms tell us is a light and a lamp to our feet.
Oh, wow.
that everywhere that Joshua goes and he puts his feet, the lamp of God is shining brightly because he's putting it where God would have him put it, because he is listening to God through his word. A lot of people tell me, I get around people and they go, how can I pray for you? Well, I've just been praying to hear from a word from the Lord.
Yeah.
You've heard that before, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I say, my friends, I love you to death. But in the English Standard Version, he's given you 756,785 of them. Pick one, because every single word in this book is written for you.
You know, that would be a great thing. When people say they're praying for you and they're waiting to hear for you, just say, would you please start just praying the scriptures for me?
Listen, when Paul chose to pray, Paul prayed God's word. Mm. He prayed from the Old Testament. When he says, he who began a good work in you, he's alluding back to the garden when he's praying for the Philippians as that chapter begins. Paul is continually trying to take people back to God's word. Mm-hmm. He's not saying, look, I've got a lot of good words for you, but I don't have any new words for you. I've got the things that God has already said. That's the reason why he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, I didn't come with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the power of the Spirit. Well, who is the Spirit? He's the author of the Scripture. He's the one who revealed Scripture to man. He's the one who spoke to the prophets and spoke to those who were sent. And so I think that Paul is continually trying to bring us back to God's word, continually. And Jesus himself does that, right? Doesn't Jesus say to the Pharisees, have you not read?
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't say, listen, let me quote it for you. He says, haven't you read? Yeah. Because that's what you ought to be doing.
Yeah.
Well, I like that statement about being strong and courageous, because sometimes we have to hear that from God because we're out of our comfort zone when we're around people with a different point of view. And he wants us to stand up for righteousness. He wants us to proclaim the good news message. And we're uncomfortable. We don't want to be rejected. We're insecure. And he's saying, no, I want you to be strong and courageous as a representative of me, as a follower of Jesus. And he's reminding us, you know, in some of those occasions when we're going to be insecure, I don't know how to witness properly, or, oh, all those people, they're pro-choice, and I don't want to defend the gospel or stand up for life. I think he has to remind us to be strong and courageous in him, with his strength, with his empowerment.
I think maybe a good closing question, you know, maybe it's a convicting question, because I just thought about it as you were saying that, is that most of the times I think when we're exuding the kind of strength and courage that we like, we're also flexing in a very ungodly way our pride.
Oh, my.
And see, I think Jesus would walk across the street and have a conversation with somebody, and we think strong and courageous is to stand on the other side of the street with our signs and scream at mm-hmm. them. And Jesus would walk over there and tell him why he loves them and then gently correct them.
Well, one takeaway I've got from this is the way to get strong and courageous and successful is doing what God's will is and meditating on his word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Meditating on his word.
Joshua 1:8 today and this week's verse. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Mm. Meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. And that's according to God's economy, God's plan, not necessarily the way we measure success and prosperity. A great verse. Thank you, Pastor Jason, for being available. We'll see you again on Friday. Marianne, we'll see you tomorrow and Wednesday.
All right.
And thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.